Nick Schinkel, the director of the West Lafayette Public Library, reviews Strange Brew, part of the Callahan Garrity Mysteries, written by Kathy Hogan Trocheck. Schinkel begins his review by reading from the book.
"Look like it's really going to blow this time," Baby said, pointing out the kitchen window at a sky the color of cheap new brass. "That be a for-real storm this time. See them clouds? Them's tornado clouds." It was the last Friday of October, Halloween, and the weather was suitably scary. Summer had lingered through August and September, and even now, with November on its way, the air was relentlessly hot and sticky, so close you couldn't get your breath. Tornadoes had been ripping eastward out of Texas and Alabama all week long, bright blue skies alternating with ominous plum-colored thunderclouds. In short, the weather was as unpredictable as it always is this time of year in Atlanta. I can remember one year when I was in college, Halloween was so warm I went to a toga party barefoot, dressed in my bikini top and a bedsheet. My mom, Edna, still tells about the year I was six, and there were snow flurries on Halloween. I refused to trick-or-treat with the other kids because I didn't want to spoil my Cinderella costume by wearing my ugly brown winter coat over it. Sister went to the window and stood beside Baby, shouldering her out of the way. She squeezed her eyes shut and cocked her head toward where the wind rattled and snapped the glass in the old window panes. Then she pressed long, bony fingertips to the glass and bobbed her head back and forth like a living divining rod. After a minute, she stepped away from the window. "No, ma'am," she said firmly. "You wrong, Baby Easterbrooks. The television weatherman fooled you again. That out there ain't no tornado, little bitty old thunderstorm is all that is." Neva Jean went to the refrigerator, reached in, and got a can of Mountain Dew. She popped the top, took a long swig, and then dabbed at her lips with the hem of her pink work smock. "Sister's right. It's a well-known fact that tornadoes never hit big cities like Atlanta. Swanell was telling me about it this morning. It's like the really bad tornadoes get stopped over there in Carrollton or up in Cedartown before they get to Atlanta. All them mobile homes just naturally attract tornadoes, and the skyscrapers downtown just naturally deflect them." "I never heard that before," Ruby said, clutching her purse to her lap. Ruby always clutches her purse when she's nervous. She was waiting for a ride, anxious to be home, but unwilling to venture out into the queer weather brewing outside our kitchen window. It had begun to rain an hour ago, hard, slanting rain that stopped as suddenly as it started. "I've actually been through one tornado in Atlanta," Ruby said. "You remember that last time a really big one came here, Edna?" "Oh, yes," Edna said. "That storm blew right through the governor's mansion and knocked it flat." "People were killed," Ruby said, her voice solemn. "It was terrible." I went over and turned down the volume on the portable television we'd brought into the kitchen. The weather forecasters were starting to get on all our nerves with their nonstop predictions of Old Testament-type storms. It was Friday afternoon, 1 o'clock, not even close to quitting time. But the National Weather Service had posted a tornado watch at noon, so I called all our personnel at their Friday afternoon jobs and told them to knock off early. Well, so opens the action in Strange Brew, a Callahan Garrity mystery by author Kathy Hogan Trocheck. This was not, despite that great opening, this was not a book I enjoyed from the first page. I found Trocheck's evocation of a rundown neighborhood in the New South of Atlanta out of my comfort zone for mystery tales. But as I read deeper into the novel, as with other critics, I got into the lead characters and the slowly evolving story. As our story opens, we just heard a freak tornado is barreling toward downtown Atlanta, Georgia, and our soon-to-be protagonist, Callahan Garrity, is frantically calling in her house cleaning crew from their jobs so that they can be sent home to seek safety. Note here to readers and writers, this is a superb way of setting up a tensely brooding scene and pulling us into the setting of the story. And it gives us a chance to pick up quick thumbnail sketches of characters we'll meet up with often during the course of this mystery tale. A quick dash to the nearby down-on-its-luck Little Five Points neighborhood takes Catherine to her favorite after-work neighborhood bar for a final drink before the storm hits. Before she even enters its welcome door, Callahan is assaulted by the deadhead neighboring toy business owner, Woovie, who complains loudly about some sort of craft beer brewing business shenanigans that are getting her thrown out of her, truthfully, junky store, cum home. Confused by her encounter with Wuvie and Little Five Points, and increasingly fearful of the threatening sky above, Callahan hurries home and hunkers down with her mother, Edna, in their small bungalow as the storm rages around them. And this actually is a good part of the book. The storm indeed does rage around them, and indeed a tornado does plow through their neighborhood. Callahan emerges from the violent storm and soon enough is hurled out of the house when her boyfriend's dog does what dogs will do, runs off in the midst of the after-storm chaos after a specter that only the dog seems to want to catch. Running after him through streets dangerously littered with downed powered lines, old oaks and pines, and the flotsam and jetsam of violent storms' aftermath, Callahan finds herself once again in the nearby Little Five Points neighborhood. And of course, more than a tornado barreled through this near downtown area, two deaths, unrelated to the weather, had hit. It hit Callahan's world hard. Well, tragic as those events are, it was the character's response to these elements of evil that I responded to most in this mystery tale. To our lead character Callahan's uneasy feeling that not all is being explained by her police friends and former colleagues. And the frantic call for help from toy store owner Wuvie just before her death. It just all doesn't sit right with Callahan, and so it didn't sit right with me either. So I shambled along after Callahan as she dug deeper, annoying some who would just as well leave this case wrapped up and forgotten, frightening one or two others about what she might discover. As Callahan seeks answers to her nagging questions, she finds herself learning more about the craft beer brewing business. Its aficionados undoubtedly will call it the passion of craft brewing, and the incredible business opportunity local brewing offers to those with a nose for this type of small business. But is that business opportunity in a revitalizing Atlanta neighborhood enough to murder? Callahan thinks so, and travels the city of Atlanta and soon enough delves into the southern part of the state of Georgia to find out more about the people behind this new Blind Possum craft brew franchise that had bought up and unceremoniously thrown Wuvie out of her home and means of living. As in many other fine mysteries, there are plenty of potential red herrings in Strange Brew. From the unexpected criminal background of Wuvie, she was convicted of killing her abusive husband 20 years before. And the discovery that the young craft brewing entrepreneur Wuvie supposedly murdered was her own stepson. The eerie appearance of a peeking Tom outside of Callahan's bedroom window. She tries but fails to capture the intruder. And the soon enough mugging of her mother, Edna, as she returns home from work the next day. Then there are the suspicious characters. There be any other way in a mystery novel that Callahan runs into as she nudges here and there in her efforts to better understand Wuvie's death. These include an uptight real estate agent who hires Callahan to find the truth behind the death, not of Wuvie, but of the brewer. All of these will delight the diehard mystery fan. And, of course, there are those supporting characters as well, characters with personality twitches that perhaps only a large urban center can truly sustain. Sister and baby, we just met them, one nearly blind and increasingly feeble, the other a religious prude who sees the devil lurking around every corner. But both women firmly bonded in their caring for one another and their dedication to their house-cleaning employers. There's Cheeser, a newly graduated Georgia Tech chemical engineering dude who lives in a converted van and works on developing green cleaning compounds when he's not busy with house cleaning work or his pension for messing around with Callahan in her whodunit sideline business. And, of course, there is the aforementioned Edna, Callahan's mother, a stalwart urban woman who takes it on herself to initiate a neighborhood watch program and, ironically, drops her own handgun just as she is mugged outside of her home in her driveway. As you can imagine, Callahan, a former cop, is less than happy her untrained mom has smuggled the gun into the house, and this provides yet another element in our story. Yet, Edna is, for all of her faults, the rock upon which Catherine has built her urban-centered world. And series listeners, listen up. Strange Brew is only one in a series of books featuring that intrepid Callahan Garrity and her house-cleaning-slash-mystery-solving crew. Don't know of another mystery series that features such an odd pairing of people, but it actually works in Strange Brew. And finally, many thanks to the Indiana Humanities Council for their support of our library's focus on craft brewing and Hoosier foods during the year 2011. The Indiana Humanities Council support extended to the purchase of nearly 50, count them, 50 craft and home brewing books, both fiction and nonfiction, for our collections, one of which was this marvelous mystery in which craft beer brewing plays a key role in the story. Let's pick up our story as we conclude our review just before that tornado is about to hit. As Callahan returns home from her little Five Points meeting and finds her mother waiting for her. Edna met me in the driveway, flashlight in hand. The wind was whistling Dixie now, bits of leaves and tree branches whipping past. She had to shout to make herself heard. I was just coming to get you. The tornado's headed right this way. I know, I hollered, trying to herd her back toward the house. I'm sorry I made you worry. You've been making me worry since you were in my womb, she said, keeping one hand each on the two dogs' collars. They were whining, pawing at the front door as we tried to back them in and close it. They've been like this since the wind picked up again, Edna said. Not Maybelline so much, but Rufus has been whimpering and pacing till I think he'll wear a track on the floor. I leaned down and took Rufus's muzzle between my hands. You don't like storms, do you, boy? His whole body was trembling. For once, he didn't wag his tail in pleasure at being petted. I made some coffee and a pot of soup, Edna said, heading toward the kitchen. Locked the garage up as good I could, and there's water and lanterns and stuff down in the basement, just in case. One mention of the basement made me shudder. Ours is unfinished, with earthen walls and floors. My private idea of hell has nothing to do with fire and brimstone and everything to do with mildew and spiders and the kind of damp cold that invades your bones and never goes away. When I'd gotten out of my Halloween outfit and into some jeans and a sweatshirt, I joined my mother in the kitchen. She had the television on the weather channel, and the radar was showing a wall of showers and high winds headed like an arrow straight at the heart of Atlanta. So much for Swinell's skyscraper theory, I said, sipping the coffee Edna handed me. Listen to that, Edna said. The wind worried at our little wood frame bungalow like a loose tooth. The glass in the window panes rattled, and we could hear the muffled plink, plink of sticks and pine cones hitting the side of the house. Lightning cracked once, twice, very close, maybe a block away. Rufus whined and tried to burrow under the kitchen table. Boom! The kitchen was flooded with a dazzling silver light. The lights flickered off. Then a slow, sickening splitting, then a terrific crash. The whole house shook, and it was quiet again. Edna's voice was shaky. That was the oak tree out front. Had to be. Give me the lantern and I'll see, I said. We'll both go see. The living room was shrouded in dark. The street lights were out. I pressed my face to the glass and saw nothing. Edna held the lantern up to the rain-spattered window. Leaves pressed against the glass. I ran to the front door and opened it, and a shower of leaves blew right into my face. I could make out more branches and the debris from the porch roof, and a dark, solid mass that had to be the trunk of the old oak lying smack across the porch. Well, as I said, the tornado is not the only evil and horror that come into their lives that Halloween night, but I think you, as I have, will enjoy learning more and going on a strange and eerie trip in Strange Brew as Callahan Garrity solves yet another murder mystery in Atlanta, Georgia. Strange Brew, a Callahan Garrity mystery by Kathy Kogan Trocek. It's available at all of our fine local libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library.
That's Nick Schinkel, the director of the West Lafayette Public Library. He's reviewed Strange Brew by Kathy Hogan Trocek.